We've actually made it to the end. People can't believe it. I can't believe it. You can't believe it. But we're here. This is the Bennett Brothers Podcast for the final episode of the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us on this incredibly long journey that Jerry and I started way back.
I think Carter was president.
Yeah, we started it and we said, hey, we want to do a podcast for a TV show that we are very interested in, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we were going to talk about it anyway, so why not record ourselves talking about it? And we've enjoyed it ever since, and it's expanded immensely. And we finally got the series finale a couple of nights ago. There's something a little bit different about this episode of our podcast here. I'm actually in the hospital right now. I am undergoing some more chemo treatments, so this is a little bit different experience, but we wanted to get this to you guys as soon as possible. So Jerry's going to be taking more of the lead on this one here because I was only able to watch the episodes once, unlike my normal two times, then going through and giving you more details. But we're still going to talk about it. This is maybe more not necessarily breaking down the episodes. This is going to be more about how we feel over the course of this show. There'll be breakdowns, yes, but we're going to talk about.
I did my standard four times watching it, so I'm still
good. Oh, good. Maybe one of these times you watched it for enjoyment, you'd enjoy doing this podcast more.
Leading up to this final episode, I rewatched every episode over the course of 7 years.
That's great. That's what we do for the people out there. And so we're not necessarily doing it this time, but we're going to give you as much stuff as we can. We would love to hear your opinions on this, especially since it is the season finale. Send us your opinion, facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter @BennettBrosPod. And then you can just go back and listen to every episode we ever did on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com. And you can get them all there. Or you can get them other places too. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to a lot of places. If you're going to go to those places, also be sure to give us a review because that'll bring in more listeners for our next inevitable podcast that we will do, which will include things like the Marvel Cinematic Universe television shows on Disney+, The Mandalorian Season 2, some of the movies that are going to be coming out for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, whatever DC holds for us as well with, Wonder Woman 84. And we're going to still cover all those things. Just it's going to be interesting how we cover those things and the way the landscape of the movie theater complex will play out. But we're going to stay with it and keep following those because we do love those stories. We love talking to each other and love talking to you guys about them. So share this podcast with a friend. Also go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Just going to make this real quick this time. There you get the mini cast. To get a mini cast, you have to be a patron. To become a patron, you have to donate some money. And donating money helps us keep the lights on our end and helps us keep making these podcasts for you guys. And it's like a dollar, so it's nothing grand, I would say. So go over there and check that out. But we want to get into the episode. I'm going to say episode because it is kind of, it's two episodes. It really is two episodes. But we'll call it episode for the sake of this podcast.
I mean, obviously, there's two episodes called The End is at Hand, and then the final is called What We're Fighting For. But I'm putting this on the feed as series finale.
Sure.
That way it's just less to do. You'll know this is the end.
Sure. We normally talk about news here. There's not too much news to talk about still. This is just, it is what it is as far as the world is concerned. So we're going to skip over the news, and we're going to get right into, the ending here.
So, Joel, all things being equal and you weren't feeling great, but what did you think of the episodes?
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. It gives me everything that I want. It gives us connections to the MCU. Could I have used more? Absolutely. But it gives us a little bit. I can't help but not compare it. I'm sorry. I can't help but to compare it to season 5 when they thought the show was ending then. And that finale felt more like a Whedon finale where we have, the tragedy of Fitz dying, but he's still alive in outer space, so there's still some hope. This one was hope all the way around. There was no really...
Well, Coulson died in that one, too.
Yeah, Coulson died in that one, so there was really no, Deke maybe being left behind, but that's about it. everything else seemed to be very nicely wrapped up with a really sweet button. Like, it leaves you in a good place. And I'm okay with being left in a good place after a TV show you spend time with. So yeah, Joss Whedon does a lot of shows where the main characters can get killed off in the final couple episodes. It doesn't have to, that doesn't mean it's great or it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just a way of doing it. And this one, you know, did – I mean, it made sense of the Deke Squad in the end. Like, he can do that in that world now, and he can become whatever he wants. And he still will exist kind of in our Prime universe. So I thought this was a lot of action, some great moments. It was great to have Fitz back on the show. I will watch this again at some point, especially when I'm at home and I have my home setup and everything like that, and I can actually enjoy it from that point of view. But I really, really liked this a lot. It was a really satisfying ending. What about you?
I thought this was great. What a great ending. Enjoyed it. Compared to season 5, this was more wrapped, more tight. I'm okay with that. I like that. They didn't bother with May and Coulson together because apparently they had their sweet love affair ending at season 5, which, again, we've talked about. I never felt that was some relationship versus the Fitzsimmons relationship felt real. Heck, Sousa and Daisy felt more real to me than Coulson and May. Coulson and May were best friends who they kind of slapped together for some silly reason when she wasn't having sex with Ward. So that was unnecessary. And I like this episode a lot. I will speak also, my in-laws, both of them love this episode to the point where my mother-in-law told my father, like, oh, don't delete that. We need to keep that episode. So that was like, wow, that's a positive thing. And I've heard so many people online raving how wonderful this episode is. And somebody said bittersweet, but it's not bittersweet. It's like, it's fine. I think everybody ends in a great place to move those characters forward and however they want to move forward. I thought they were great. But let's get this one out of the way, one too. So speaking of people's opinions, this would be the final Shield section of the Get Pierced segment. Mr. Ed Pierce.
Get Pierced. Meow. Meow.
Bark. And he, well, initially, I had sent, I go, hey, let me know what you think and everything. Send me your opinions. You've been on this. You've been listening to a podcast, to a show that you probably would not have watched, but you did. He says, thanks for the offer, but I've got no grand thoughts about it. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I will say, though, I love the part at the end where it faded to black and then Coulson woke up next to Suzanne Plachette. Classic Ed right there. Joel, you know what that reference is, of course, right?
No. Is he referring to the Bob Newhart show?
Yes, he is. He's referring to when Newhart woke up on the old Bob Newhart show.
Yeah.
So that was really good.
Jeez.
He also appreciated Leopold coming back, I believe, because he sent me a picture of Bugs Bunny dressed as the composer Leopold, raising his hand, keeping it up. So I think that's how he makes that Leopold reference there. So then today I said, absolutely last chance to comment. And he says, he wanted to ask me which character Paxson was playing. So I told him, I go, well, John Garrett. And so here's take one of what Ed had to say on that. Let's see if it plays.
I think when John Garrett and the S.H.I.E.L.D. team teleported into the bar near the end, Garrett should have said, hey, there's a lady in here, right before she shot and killed him.
And then he did a take two, because that's how we work.
I think when John Garrett and the S.H.I.E.L.D. team teleported into the bar near the end, Garrett should have said, what, there's a lady in here, right before she shot and killed him.
So we got that.
Is that planning to try out for like Guys and Dolls anytime soon?
Oh, nice. I did ask him if he felt satisfaction of Daisy finally having a sister. And his words were, well, she has two sisters now, doesn't she? Oh, okay, I get what
you're saying. Excellent.
So I told him I was going to use both takes, and he says, great, because both of them were great. And we'll leave that out there for the world to think. So he also said he found it interesting that Coulson, the first of the Avenger team to die, now never dies. That's a lot of soul and afterlife stuff here that they've glossed over. And as I told him, that is something I always talk about, but that's sci-fi for you. So, Ed, as always, thank you for contributing to the show.
It was, thank you, Ed.
Got some good laughs there. No matter how many people called us and texted us and said, you have to stop that segment, and there was a lot.
Please stop that segment.
We would not gonna stop. Never happened. All right, so we're going to get into the actual episode. And this is before I didn't know I was going to be running this one. So my notes are going to be a little more, like, for the first line, I've got space lasers. So there were space lasers happening there at the beginning. All right, so, oh, man, I have to read while I'm trying to think of something to say. Okay, so we get the ship docking with the Zephyr, and we get a comment where Max says, "Nice job, Tremors." And, of course, Sousa continues the part that you liked from the previous episode because I thought it was Quake. We get a great use of tractor beams. Again, one of the many things in sci-fi that as a kid I thought was real, like force fields. We just take it for granted that tractor beams exist. Apparently they don't. Neither do force fields.
Nope. There is a scientific thing where, like, if you see, like, they have these floating rocks that go onto, like, metal beams or whatnot, and they got the steam coming off them. Those are, like, hoverboard kind of material. So that's kind of a force field-esque material. But, yeah, nothing like that truly exists yet.
The way these beams work, I would almost say, you know what, because there was on both sides, and they would keep, if you used them calling them magnets, where they were sending a reverse magnetic field in reverse, so they're keeping it perfectly aligned, I would buy that a little bit more. All right, so
magnets.
We get our final look at the awesome Tron titles. I'm glad that they kept this one all the way to the end, because this was a great looking title effect. And we see our characters get out and realize that the Zephyr is empty. What do you think about all this fact that our team shows up and there's nobody there?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Is this because Sybil? I'm actually figuring this out as I'm saying it. It's basically, as we'll find out later, Sybil wants Daisy to get there.
Exactly.
And we see Sybil in person, but she's actually made up of something or whatever.
Well, she's alive now. She's not stuck in that Max Headroom computer or code anymore. I thought the light beams that were around the area what were projecting her, and if that's what it was, it's very similar to the technologies Tony Stark uses in Captain America: Civil War.
All right, and we're all
that's what it reminded
the barf the barf whatever that was called that relates out to. Remember in Spider-Man Homecoming, Far From Home, they called it, the acronym was like barf or vomit or something.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is going to come back because I need to know what happened to Sybil when we get to that moment there, because Sybil's on the show and then Sybil wasn't on the show. And I want to make sure we know what happened to her. So we find out that the lighthouse is still intact because it was designed to take hits from space or massive, what you call it. So they're still there, which is fine.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, they built it underground. It's supposed to be buried. Although, if you hit the door, like, it'll flood the place. But I guess it floods from the inside. It's easier to flood from the inside than the outside.
It's as strong as it needs to be, depending on the episode. And Gemma gets injected with something that will dissolve the implant.
Yes, because she's having really bad memory troubles at this point with Deke. She's remembering things and not remembering things at the same time.
May, meanwhile, kind of has a whole Obi-Wan Kenobi basically dealing with Alderaan. She kind of feels a great disturbance in the forest. She's
Yes, I thought the same thing. She felt the tremor in the forest when all the shield bases went down.
It was as if 1,000 shield agents died all at once and cried out and said, "We're not on the show no more." Korra confronts... What happens if in my notes we come across one of my wonderful autocorrects? This is going to be great.
That adds to the joy of the podcast.
Oh, no. Okay, so Korra confronts Nathaniel about her mom's death and kind of have a moment there, which is fine. Garrett, meanwhile, has teleported into the base, and he's putting blue bombs all around the lighthouse.
Yes.
And then we get a sequence where Gemma and Deke are talking about Fitz.
I was going to, because, again, I don't have the timeline. Garrett putting bombs around the lighthouse is going to refer back to something we talked about last podcast that you had gotten right and I had gotten wrong, that I thought it was a way to... I got it right, you got it. No, you got it right, I got it wrong. The tracking of Garrett, yes.
Well, that's consistent with the entire time we've been doing this podcast then.
Yeah, the first time.
Okay. All right, so Quake and Sousa kiss. This time he actually remembers it versus the time he did in the time loop.
Yeah. And as Max said, impressive.
Again, I got to tell you right now, the last 3 or 4 episodes... Mac has just come back to being a character who has not doing any wrong by me. Once they gave him less of the dictatorial in charge, you know, always having to be the frustrating, you know, making terrible decisions or being the one who has to be the killjoy or one, whatever it is, he has just been wonderful these last few episodes. So I am really happy how they ended his whole arc here. And it was funny.
Yes, I agree. And we'll talk about that near the end, too.
Coulson sees the chronobomb. And they talk here at this point. They're going to trap Garrett.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Sybil is talking to Mac and Daisy on different areas. She's walking around the hallways, and he's still in the ship. They learn that blowing the doors, when they shoot the missiles at the door in the hangar bay, that doesn't work.
That scene was so funny to me. That's probably the funniest scene of the whole episode, just the way it, like, bink, it just kind of bounces off the door, because they built it up so much, and it just bounced off. I thought it was delightfully well-timed, comedy-wise.
Was it as good as Iron Man 2? And they bunker buster. War Machine shoots that, you know, bunker buster off. It just kind of bink bounces off of them. So
I forgot about that. That's a great callback.
Nathaniel and Cora, meanwhile, are talking about Daisy in a sequence here. They're just talking. I don't know. I wasn't listening. maybe I was. Coulson and May, they talk about the changes they've been through and how maybe they're the better people that they are now. Because May is definitely a better person because of her empathy and being able to deal with all of her issues, but also still be a badass, which was great, and almost a superpower in a certain way. So this was like...
She totally has a superpower now.
Yes, we're going to give you a superpower for the last 7 episodes of the series, but right, fine. Coulson, you know, say what you will. Ed brings up the point about the soul and the afterlife and all the other stuff, and what is Coulson? Is Coulson just an incredibly sophisticated computer program? But, you know, was he a computer program when he went to Tahiti, when the brain was reactivated? There's so many metaphysical questions to ask in that. But at the end of the day, if he's a computer and he's data, then he's data from Star Trek. He's just an android at this point who thinks he's Coulson, but he thinks it so well that I'm like, all right, I'm okay with it.
And he can grow and he can learn and he can do stuff. So he's still a viable being, even if it's not necessarily a birthed being. So
then we see Garrison actually land on the X that they put on the ground, and there was a whole bait and switch here for us and the audience where we're thinking he's going to, you know, he makes the comment, which Ed would, of course, do the imitation of, and I will not. By the way, the actor who plays John Garrett, who is the son of Bill Paxton, he does a couple incredible readings throughout this episode where, like, oh, there's the Paxton, there's the Bill Paxton.
There are times it's spot on, and there are other times where it's, and I don't blame him necessarily. I blame the writing.
Like, I blame his mother for the genes.
Well, yeah, genes. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are times when it's like, that didn't hit. There's other times it hits, and so I blame the writing, because that was Bill Paxton's way of, he could deliver lines that could just rock. That's why I almost wanted him to like pull lines from other movies and stuff like that, just to have him say them. You know, some game over, man. Like, something.
Why don't
like
you
that.
Put her in charge?
You spin this.
Stuart. Exactly. All right.
Pralines. And I was also trying to think of any lines from like True Lies when he's playing the car salesman.
And not really known for lines. I mean, he's a good in that movie, but yeah. Most of his quotable stuff seems to come from Weird Science and Alien and perhaps Twister, if he's standing at a certain angle.
So K5, Category 5 Hurricane, Twister. Oh, man.
People, go on YouTube and watch Bill Paxton's performance in the Twister Universal ride. It's memorable.
The pre-show, because he's not actually in the show itself, I don't believe, but he's in the pre-show and they talk about Category 5 tornadoes.
Him talking to Helen Hunt, and apparently they didn't want to be in the same room with each other, so it's the whole thing.
His hand is on his hip and he's got it
where it should be, like, man. Okay, so Yo speeds the chains all on to Garrett, which was good. And so he couldn't get away, and the effect of him, you know. Oh, before I forget, so what did you think of the special effects in this episode? Because you were talking about how they had spent more money on this than the whole season combined or something.
So, I mean, the special effects were good. They weren't great.
You were expecting something more, weren't you? You
I guess I was. Here's what I was expecting. I mean, there's a lot of things I thought, you know, are they going to bring Ghost Rider back? And that's where we're going to get our special effects from. I think about season 5 and when they're in Chicago and the ship's coming down, they're doing the battling there. Those special effects were phenomenal. You know, this one, the special effects, as I know we're going to talk about later, like Quake versus Garrett, that was a terrible fight. It was terrible. Like, they just kind of stood there and just kind of like pushed air at each other. Like, okay, what's happening? What's going on here? But you know, I wanted more, but it didn't feel like I got cheated out except for that one fight scene, in my opinion. I think everything else looked, high budget.
I'm going to get back. We'll go more on that. I'm going to get right back into what we're talking about. But I think a lot of your issues that I'm hearing, and I've heard this over the tours, is the ending. You're waiting for the return of, or the something or other of, the reference to, you know, all those things like, you know, Avengers Endgame, when he finally picked up the hammer, and you're waiting for those moments, and it doesn't have them. And that's not the show's fault. That's all of us going, oh, but I wanted this moment for no other reason than I could go like, oh my God, there he is. And again, I'm guilty of that too. Oh my God, there's Wedge at the end of Rise of Skywalker. That made the film finally work, you know, that kind of stuff. All right, yeah. So in this sequence here, right before the commercial break, Yo speeds the bomb away just in time. And apparently she sped all the bombs to one location. Is that
how you interpret that? She got them all to one location, so it didn't ruin the structural integrity anywhere. But by her moving around really fast, eventually.
But she couldn't get him out of the building in time.
Yeah, correct. Because she is overly superpowered at this moment. Like she's stronger than anybody on the team.
Yeah, but they'll never do again. It's the whole Flash scenario of being able to move at that speed. The writers will always.
Because she's even more powerful than Flash at this point because she has freaking bionic arms.
Yes.
To go with
it. She's also able to. The whole speedster thing is about processing. In fact, they've had to deal with that in different things where I've said this before, like the Flash will be able to read every book, so he'd be extremely literate, but then he's going to not be relatable. Everyday Joe, he's going to be super. So, he, you know, the information will kind of speed away from him for a while because he, you know, that just has to do that. Mr. Fantastic can't give miracle technology to the world because then it's not the world out our window. Boy, I brought that back. Love it. So we find out that Coulson had used his body, robot body, to protect May, which was good. So we see that Garrett is bleeding out, and they feel like,
but they save him.
Meanwhile, Mac and Sousa are fighting the Chronicle.
Because this is important because Garrett just got left behind to die.
Yes. Well, he tried to. He had a conversation with Nathaniel.
Yes. So this is important for his motivation. It's kind of plot devicey. So he's the only one that can get him out there. But
if he makes a turn to the good guys, what do you do with him as a character? Because we dealt with this slightly last year. If you remember the character of Snowflake, do you remember the character Snowflake? The memorable character of Snowflake. She was one of Sarge's guys. The girl. She ends up.
Yes.
They put her in jail, and then that was ever they did with.
Yeah, who was falling? He fell in love with Deke.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Whatever happened to that character?
Work good. Have them be part of the good guys team, you have to deal with the ramifications and the results of what they did as bad guys and see if that tells you if you're like, oh, are they going to be able to stay on the team? Do they have to sacrifice themselves? Do they have to go to jail? What happens with that? You know, it's tricky. The moral clause that the networks have to have built into them so that they can't have the bad guys win, like the Hays Code. So we go to, like I said, Mac and Susar versus the Chronicons, and I'm guessing Joel had to love this sequence where we actually see Mac use the weapon from the very second episode of...
Oh, the 084, absolutely.
No, not the 084. 084 is descriptive.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. They used the spear thing that they used in... It was in the temple or in front of the temple.
Yeah, it was the second episode that aired.
Which that device... They've also used that kind of device has been used on other movies and TV shows as well. I think we talked about it in the podcast before.
But it wipes out about 8 to 12, I would say 8 Chronicons here. And it was a great callback. Nice, like, oh, remember this on the show. Remember this device. We never used it before. But fine, I never used since. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Love it. Love that kind of stuff. That's perfect.
So meanwhile, walking around the base, we see that the Chronicons are ignoring Quake. And then we cut back and we find out that Yo has been speared. I guess I should call her Yo-Yo. That's my point. Yo-Yo has been speared by a...
Especially since Yo-Yo is such a cool character now at this point. Like, give her a name. She got a name. She got awesome powers. She's perfect.
Yes. So she is speared by a piece of rebar, which isn't this basically done just to, like I always say, slow her down a little bit? Otherwise, she could do everything for everybody. So like, she's kind of wounded. So she can't...
Oh, rebar. Right in the arm.
James Rebar. So they save Garrett, and this is where he decides to join the good guys. And then meanwhile, Coulson is hearing patterns in sounds. So he's listening to that. We cut over to Quake, and she is saving Gemma and Deke very easily. And we learn that Gemma's implant has now dissolved, which is going to lead to what Sybil was going to want to talk about in a second. We cut back and we find out that Mac has his shotgun axe, which he never uses the axe part of it in this episode that I recall, but he's got electro shells in there. So that explains why he's able to basically take out the Chronicoms. Good piece of writing.
And this is not the shotgun axe that was made for him by Deke in the 80s either. That's like a silver one. This is actually his original one, which I believe the actor, because they're doing they did a prop selling at an auction house of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. props and all that. And I believe someone or some fan bought the Mac shotgun axe for the actor and gave it to him. So I thought that was kind of nice.
Mm, wow. We cut and we have a sequence here where they're talking about the word peachy. Susa uses, that's just peachy, and it's a quaint little conversation.
I thought they were going to go towards the peach emoji being the popular thing. Now, if you have a peach emoji, it looks like a butt. And I thought they were going there with it, because I'm like, where are they going with this?
Who knew that? Me putting that in this conversation. All right, so we see Gemma is still struggling with her memories. Korra now blocks their path from getting away. Korra blocks Quake. Quake basically makes it so it has no effect because she's blocking it with her own powers. Really cool effect here. We realize that what Coulson is hearing is it's a message from S.H.I.E.L.D. or the remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's what he's hearing. And Garrett offers to teleport them to where they need to go, which is the bar, we find out, the Swordfish Bar in New York. So that's where he's going to be taking them. And it was so interesting because they don't trust him here. And I think Debbie actually brought up, she's like, wait, can't May read his intentions? Can't she tell if he's lying or not? So that should have been like, oh, yeah, he's going to definitely listen because she can read his mind or read his emotions.
Yeah, but he flip-flops so easily. I'm like, even if he gives an emotion one way, he'll be able to switch really quickly based on the new information. He's a survivor kind of person.
So we see that Gemma and Deke arrive at the Zephyr. We're still waiting for Daisy to show up. Nathaniel then eventually confronts Korra, realizes that Korra is not going with the program, so that he zaps her. And he turns to somebody named Kendall and he says, you know, are you ready for a promotion?
Yeah, Kendall, she was in last episode as well.
Now, are they saying here? Now, he's saying a promotion. I initially took that to read, because it's a woman, that they were going to take Korra's powers and give it to her.
I did not take it that way.
You thought Nathaniel was going to double up and triple up on powers.
No, I didn't think that either, but he could have been trying to give it to her. I just didn't assume that to start with, that he was going to give her Korra's powers to her. But, I guess that's his plan. You're probably right.
I thought they were going to give the powers to this Kendall. So the Chronicoms are put on the bombs themselves, taped to them, so that they can be used to blast open the doors, which I thought was really cool.
They're not just taped to them though, but they had their faces removed and everything. They were the actual robots that were underneath.
Why do you think they did that?
I think
so it didn't seem so grisly.
Maybe it's easier to do CGI when it's robot faces versus having all different types of humans.
It was probably easier to do the effect, yeah.
I can say that when they, from a logical story point of view, when you put them outside into the airless hangar, the skin hardened and melted away or cracked away because of the cold air vacuum of space, the cold vacuum of space. I don't know. But I thought it was a really interesting idea to turn them all into, you know, bombs. You know, they sequenced them all together and everything like that, which is something they referenced earlier in the show, which is great.
All right, so our people on Earth get teleported to the bar, and this is, as Ed mentioned earlier, this is where Garrett gets killed, and I pretty much comment here that it's really too messy to keep him alive at this point. You can't...
Yeah,
it's... You can't, in the storyline, it's like they're not going to spend time, they're not coming back for another season, so I didn't like it, but they basically decide... Because he didn't even get to go out heroically. Maybe that was never the point. Maybe the point is to focus on our main characters and whatever you want to say. But it was just like, you know, we have to kill him off. So we utilize what he can do, and then he was done.
Yeah, it was a quick death. And he, you know, he's a bad guy. He deserved to die and all that. I'm happy they got the actor in there to play him. I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it.
And finding out who killed him, first we're introduced to an agent, Brandon Gamble, who I don't know from anything. I don't know that name.
I do not either.
Do we look it up or we just go? Let's just keep going.
I didn't see anything when I looked it up.
I didn't see anything either referenced anywhere. And then, but we find out that the agent that actually killed him is a very young Victoria Hand, which I thought was great because he was basically responsible for Victoria Hand dying through Ward. So I thought that was great. Did you like seeing Victoria Hand show up?
I did like see her show. At first, I was like, Victoria Hand, that's awesome. And then I went, wait a minute, is that Roxy? Wait a minute, it's Victoria Hand. Because like they kind of referenced it to her and then they kind of didn't. It was if you haven't been listening to our podcast or following the show that closely, you'd have no idea. You would have no idea.
So we find out that all these agents have brought in 084s, which are devices of unknown origin or something like that. So they each bring these devices in, including an agent named Grace McKee or McPhee. Don't know who that was either, but we called out the name. Again, if you know those names at home and they make a reference, let Joel know because he messed
up. Yeah, let us know because I like to do the research on this, but fortunately this is a different situation here being stuck in the hospital. So
all these devices are from different time periods, which I thought was clever. Some of them look like they're from future, some of them from a past, from the 30s, from the 60s, whatever. We get our team together. The rest of the team show up on Earth, and they all show up at the bar, and there's hugs for everybody all around. This was obviously pre-COVID, so right now, otherwise they'd give them fist bumps. Gemma is all of a sudden putting the device together without even knowing how she's doing it.
There is a wonderful moment here before we get into Gemma putting the device together where Daisy and May meet up, and then May goes and gives Daisy a big hug. And I thought it was a really sweet moment because Daisy's like, oh, didn't expect that. And I just thought it was a really nice little showing where May is now with her empathy power.
I would agree. And we're missing one piece, and that piece is brought to us by actor Bill Cobbs.
Bill Cobbs!
Bill Cobbs, who has been acting forever. Bill Cobbs
Demolition Man.
Is in his, it's got to be late, well, he was born in 1934. So Joel, do the math. So 34, today's 20, so it's 14.
46, 66.
No, I can do it faster by going backwards from 100. So he's 90, so he's 86.
76, 86, yeah.
And he's been in everything from Demolition Man to Night of the Museum. And the fact that he's still going strong is awesome.
I mean, the fact that they got him for this, it's such a small,
I don't know
like...
if he was supposed to be some actor. I didn't catch his name as it was. Did they even say what his name was?
And the credits, it's listed as old man. So there you go.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if they were trying to say like maybe he was one of the Howling Commandos.
I thought they were trying to get to that too, but they never actually got that far. Like we have Graham and like a couple of the actors, but they never got that far. Like this is persons related to that person.
Yeah, the actor who the character from the Howling Commandos, Gabe, I can't remember Gabe's last name, Gabriel something, which was. I would think he would be the one because he was the African-American guy who was in the Howling Commandos, but they didn't do that. So,
who was related to Trip.
Correct. Very good. Good callback. Yeah. We get to this point where she realizes that it comes with a tuning fork, which is used as it's basically the key that opens up the side door. And that's when Debbie goes, wait a minute, that whole device was designed just to open that door, which would have been like way overkill if that would have been the situation.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
It would have been like, that's just to open the door. It'd be kind of like going, it's like that Simpsons episode where they go through all the, Mr. Burns and Smithers go through the whole rigmarole doors just to get inside where the keys are turned and then there's like a screen door in the back.
And there's a back door that's open.
Oh, for the love of.
Awesome.
And we hear the phrase that this is the end of the beginning and then they insert the device in. Gemma then kind of has a Wizard of Oz moment saying, you know, and you were there and you were there and Toto too, you know, there's a whole moment there. And the wedding ring shows up and that's what activates the portal. And that portal opens up and brings us back Leopold Fitz in the mask that he had from season 5, I think it was.
Well, that was, it looked like Deke's mask.
Yes, but I thought it was the same mask that, I thought Fitz also had that same mask he did. I thought so. But then we get to what would have been our first button, which is again, our final button is still a Nathaniel one, just like everyone has been for the last 7 episodes. Nathaniel and Sybil see the power at New York safe house so that they understand that's where everybody's gathering because that's the one that they didn't blow up for some reason. And then we get our simple title that just says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
Yes.
And Fitz explains to everybody how they have to save the original timeline and that Korra is the key. That's why they're there. I don't think the show ever really does a great job of justifying that she's the key in this. But they
No, it does a really poor job of it, actually, because I was reading online, a lot of people throwing about the idea that Fitz doesn't care about saving that world, that timeline, but the rest of the team does. So how do you need all of the Chromacons to become, you know, to get empathy from May because of the boosted power by Korra. If you didn't care about their world, you just let the Chromacon stay there and you go back to your own time period. Yeah, it was a little, I don't know what's going on there, but that's
And again, they do say later in this episode where he spends all that time studying the time stream. And so he spends all those years basically, you know, doing that. So he, you know, it's basically he Doctor Stranges it, where he looks through all the things, like the one way that it'll actually work is kind of how I interpreted it, that was what happening there. They use the quantum realm to get back to the original timeline, which I've heard people say that this is finally a reference to Avengers Endgame, because all of the other Avengers movies have been referenced and this one is through this. And I'm like, that's kind of a stretch. It's just,
but I'm okay with it in the sense of time.
Yes.
Because this is Endgame. I shouldn't say Endgame. I'm right. The idea that they travel through multiple time streams by the quantum realm.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. So they have a device that they can use to create a bubble that will also take all the Chronicoms back with them. And we find out that this is the last mission. This will be the last time they're in the same room ever, which I find a real stretch because it really doesn't have to be. But apparently it is. You know, they're counting Deke in that scenario, I guess. But
That's the only difference is Deke.
Yeah. And I know that they have the thing at the end where they're not technically all in a room together, but come on.
Yeah. It was a little, no Deke and no Enoch. I mean, that's really what it came down to at the end.
Sousa volunteers to stay behind because he's from that timeline, but before he can finish, Deke then volunteers, which is fine. They're going to get him out of there, which, you know, as far as the actor goes, he's been on the show for this is his third season. Obviously, the season was shot back to back, but this is an idea. This takes him out of the end of the episode. He's done after this sequence.
I mentioned this earlier, though. I think it works perfectly for the character. The character gets to stay someplace where he's already met all these people as agents.
Oh, it's great for him.
Although, actually, probably Roxy's, they might all be dead, but he, you know, he also gets to keep making music if he wants to. He gets to make his startup business that he had. You know, there's so much going for him, and he's not gone from their lives because he eventually will be born.
Yeah,
should be born.
He's a rock god who will be head of S.H.I.E.L.D. in this world. So we see them taking the device that Simmons put together. They're taking it apart, put it on the Zephyr, and then they're putting it back together again. I don't understand that, but it's small detail. And then the device works. Deke is the new guy in charge now after this. So he's got a good thing. He did talk about how he wanted to film something that they talked about, but they obviously didn't, where they would have cut to him as an older person and he would have had an eye patch.
Yeah, I read that. He was going to have an eye patch and he was going to be Deke Fury.
Yeah. Meanwhile, our team is now traveling in the quantum realm, basically the same kind of look that you would see. Or, you know, the Millennium Falcon is traveling, and that's when we can have conversations. So at this point, Fitz is going to help Gemma remember all of her stuff, which, again, it's really emotional. This is going to be a real payoff for the characters. But I got to be honest with you, Joel, because of what you had told me about not the fact that he was busy filming a show. I get that. That's not selfish. The guy wants to go off and do his thing. And there's been a lot of articles that I've also posted on our Facebook page where the showrunners talk about letting him do that and how they came up with the storyline. It probably gave Deke more to do on the show because a lot of his stuff would have probably been Fitz, that sequence somehow. But
sure.
The fact that you had said that the actor had a bad relationship with somebody on S.H.I.E.L.D. or you had heard that it kind of made me have some bad feelings for Fitz now.
No, that was not news. I read that on the internet and I couldn't verify that was true or anything like that. I just brought it up as something to be. But again, I think the big thing was he was supposed to do a movie and that actually got postponed as well, from my understanding. And so he actually had more free time, but they had already written the story out and everything. I just, you know, I wonder what the show would have been. I wonder what the season would have been like if he had not had prior commitments. This would have been more Fitz and it would have been an interesting dynamic. But hey, we got what we got out of it and I'm still happy about that.
Well, they filmed these 13 episodes immediately after they finished last season's 13 episodes. It actually was a 26-episode season in some respects, which is, considering most series, if they go 22, that's a lot. And S.H.I.E.L.D. has done up to 24. So they obviously had Fitz was in the first 13. And then this last season, he technically shows up in 3 episodes out of the 13, the final 3. I will say that when he shows up, and once I got past that initial feeling of that, I realized that, God, the show is so much better when he's on there. He just brings a dynamic that I didn't even realize I was missing as much as it was until I saw that he was there.
He's a very strong actor. He's a very strong actor.
So we get some flashbacks here where we obviously see Enoch again in the final, which I did say that was going to happen. And we also see Piper and Flint. How are you feeling about all that?
It's great. Love it. Perfect.
You love the secondary characters showing up like that.
I do. I love that they just didn't get forgotten about, like you mentioned with Butterfly. Like, yeah, I totally forgot about her, whatever. Snowflake, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She wants everyone to be a butterfly, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, see, it's coming back to you. So the time stream device is out there, and Flint is now making a piece of the time monolith for them. So there's a lot of exposition here, but I'm okay with it. And they head to the Elka star system, which is a reference to Gemma having talking about the Elka system earlier when she was a kid. And this is the sequence where we learn that Fitz is studying the time stream. And they take years together in this sequence. Now, I'm not an expert or anything, but as soon as... did we talk in the past about they probably have a kid?
We did not, no.
Okay, I don't know if we did, but...
I don't remember that theory ever being announced.
Well, when we talked about how many years have gone by, you know, and there was a reference in the last episode where they talk about the blood work, so obviously that probably had more reference to do with what was going... I don't know what that was, if that was talking about Gemma.
I thought that was more about the radiation poison that Fitz could be suffering from using the device. Or studying the time streams.
Okay. But I did say, as soon as they said years here and they're spending all this time together, I immediately in my head, I'm like, oh my God, they have a kid. And that's why he's been gone this whole time. And that's what they need to protect. That just to me, it felt like, then I said that to Debbie, they have a kid. Or at least one kid or something like that. So they take years together and then they jump back to the moment that they actually had left the timeline right at the end of season 5. And we see Fitz is going into stasis to help stabilize. So this is the excuse to keep him out of this season, which is a week. But somebody had to stay back to stabilize the time stream. Is that what they said? Yeah. I don't know how he stabilizes it, but he did. And we learned that they take years together. Gemma has forgotten that they had a child. So we get to see a bunch of those flashback images. Or is that coming up? I'm not sure if I wrote that in my notes just because...
I think that's coming up.
Okay, I wrote that in my notes here because I realized it at this point, or I wrote it down. So Nathaniel and Sybil, we see them are arguing, and they're going to take Cora's powers. We arrive back in the original time stream, and the team is now disguised as the people in season 6 finale. Season 6 finale? Yes.
Yes.
What do you think of this? I thought this was good because I do remember Gemma shows up with a team... And we never really see them that much. I mean, we see a couple people she has.
They're all radiation outfits.
Now, at the beginning of this season, didn't she still have some team members around her?
I don't think so. No, she was going... I thought she went by herself. It was just her and Enoch.
Okay. I mean, I know that was for a while, but I have to go back to look at the first season, the first episode, and see who was there. So that explained that, which was great. The fact that they're right there and they can't talk and they can't... I thought this was all good.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That was great stuff. That was great stuff.
Meanwhile, the Zephyr that we've been following all this time has infiltrated the Chronicom ship, and we get a Quake fight. She's blasting through people, and Coulson gets captured very easily. Obviously, this is going to play into what they wanted him to get captured. And then we get your very lovely Nathaniel versus Quake fight. And as you've said before, Nathaniel has had these powers technically longer than her, so he should be able to utilize them.
We've seen Chloe Bennett, the actress, as the fighter on the show, and she has been in some amazing fights. I always go back to one, I think it was like 3 seasons ago or 4 seasons ago, where it was like one continuous take. It was super well done, high martial arts level. This fight between the two of them was so lackluster.
You didn't like them flying around using her powers to levitate?
Maybe a little bit, but it's like she kind of like jumps over a moon, the setting was weird. The setting was designed obviously to be some nondescript thing, and it was a very weak. I thought it was a very weak god battle, if you want to call it that. Because I mean, these two are super gods who have destroyed the earth, and then just like beep beep, like kind of throwing wind at each other.
Yeah, we did see her use her martial arts in the scene right before this, and so she did get to have a fight sequence there.
She did, and I will say that I expected her to use her martial arts more, since she wasn't as powerful as him quaking-wise. She has more experience fighting-wise, so they kind of showed that a little bit, but again, it was underwhelming at best.
Yo-Yo use her powers here, which is really cool. She's running around, not getting winded. Gemma then finally starts remembering. Coulson tells Sybil that Fitzsimmons is at the lighthouse, revealing that. But we find out that this is actually a double bluff. They're using this to get her authorization. Okay, so then she gets the authorization, and then what does that leave for? And all of a sudden, jumping out of the ceiling, that's when May says the line, "The cavalry arrives." Great moment. Did she just jump on top of Sybil and kill her there?
I didn't see that.
What happened to Sybil then?
I thought Sybil went back. She's continuing that loop. I don't know.
Yeah, see, she landed on somebody. Boom, she lands. The cavalry arrived. I thought she landed or killed or disintegrated Sybil here. It was confusing.
That'd be fine by me. I mean,
Sybil never shows up again at this point. That's the end of her. She got squished.
I will have to look into that because I don't have an answer. Maybe on my second viewing, I'll be able to have a better answer.
Well, we have talked in the future. We may have another podcast down the road where we kind of reflect on the whole series.
Well, she's a digital kind of like hard light at this point. So she could have just been destroyed, you know?
All right. So as we talked about before, this is all done so that they can give the Chronicoms empathy because the Chronicoms are all heading towards...
They went back to the lighthouse, I believe.
The Chronicoms now have empathy, so now they're friends. They're all talking like Enoch now. And Daisy then sees her team leave. So all of a sudden, she's going to be a sacrifice. What did you think going into this moment where she's like clearly going to sacrifice for the team? What was your thoughts going on here?
I thought it made sense. Like, I was accepting of it. But then when Deke stepped up, I'm like, oh, that makes way more sense.
Now, we obviously see at this point Nathaniel also has Korra's powers.
Yes. His
eyes are glowing like that. So he kind of utilizes them against her.
You know what? I never put that together.
Until just now?
That's so funny. Just now, yeah. I thought the glowing eyes. I thought Daisy had glowing eyes when she was like became super powerful too.
No, he had Korra's powers. That's why that was a little weird. They didn't. It's not conveyed as well as it should be.
No, not at all.
So she blows the ship up.
And he is not as super as he should be either. Than if he has Quake and Korra's powers.
So she blows the ship up. The ship explodes, leaving her relatively unharmed, except for the brain death being in the vacuum of space. So she's floating in space, and then Korra uses her powers to revive her. Because this is the ascent. This was why Korra was important. In addition to giving the Chronicoms empathy, I'm fine with it, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, I mean, well, she brought back. I mean, you make a good point. She brought back Daisy, one of our leads, so she's very important in that sense.
And we learned that they were always fighting for family. And then we see Fitzsimmons arrive back to see their daughter, Aaliyah, who is adorable, and you get to see her in all the memories, all wonderful.
She's English, adorable.
Charlie bit my finger.
So the director of this episode, you know, we have articles about this. This is Kevin, I believe, is the director of this episode. If I'm not mistaken, he directed it. But the other two creators of the show, Marissa and Jed, they are married together. And they always saw the analogy of Fitz and Simmons being like their marriage. And they actually had a daughter born during the show and they raised it. So that was one of the impetuses for them having a daughter between the two of them.
I did hear that also.
That is the impetus for Fitz and Simmons having the daughter. Because it's a relation to the creators of the show that they had a daughter during the show. I just thought that was a cool little tidbit.
I'm looking online to find out what happened to Sybil.
I was too. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, even on the Wikipedia page for Marvel Cinematic Universe. All right, so they saved the kid. There was a whole purpose because Piper made the comment, like, what are we guarding, this empty container? Which is funny. From their perspective, this all happened within mere moments.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Which is very Doctor Who-like, to be honest with you, because the Doctor Who will, like, leave... Like, for example, when the ninth Doctor, Christopher Eccleston, sees Rose, and he goes, hey, I'm going to give you an offer to go with, and she doesn't, so then he leaves, and then he comes back, and then she goes with him. He could have been gone for a century.
Yeah, well, that makes for those great radio dramas and stuff like that, because they can fill in gaps like that. I'm sure someone's probably marked out for, like, Doctor Who, like... the times the TARDIS has left to come back. I mean, like, you could do a whole story right in this section if you wanted to.
So we do get a reference here, storytelling-wise, to Avengers Endgame because we get to have a 1 year later come up on screen. I was kind of hoping it would have come up the same way 5 years later did, but this was night. And we're back on the bar set that they still have, and Coulson is there, and Quake, and Yo-Yo, and May, and Fitzsimmons, and Mac. And they're all there. And we find out that there is a Russian team that Piper and Yo-Yo and Mac are all dealing with some sort of mission or involved with that. They're talking about that. We find out that May is exhausted, and we find out that Fitzsimmons are retired, although Fitz is probably a little more retired than actually Simmons is.
Yes.
They had gotten a letter from Daisy had gotten a letter from Agent Sousa, which they thought was funny, but that they still use print or paper and anything, or using a letter. And we find out that he is still with Daisy, and that she had taken him to go see E.T., and they find out that she and him are really made for this work, and they're busy on the Zephyr 3, is the ship that they're on.
Zephyr 3, that's awesome. I don't know what happened to Zephyr 2. I don't know why they didn't make a bus 2, but they're on the Zephyr 3.
We find out that Coulson is busy seeing the world. And we also find out at this point that they're actually all holograms. They're not in the same room together because they will never be in the same room together. They just don't have the time to do it. It seems like a weird choice. Again, storytelling-wise, it's fun to do it at this point because they're all then could just sign off and go back to some sort of giant mission they're on. But technically, they could have, whatever. I'll let it go. Let it go, Jerry.
You got to let it go because they gave us some awesome stuff. So, like, the fact that we have, Yo-Yo and Piper working together. And who do they bring back, Jerry?
Hang on, we haven't gotten
crew
there yet.
I know.
I want to talk to you about that. So we do also, they do make a comment that they basically have pretty much died at some point. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was great.
So, yes, so we get to the sequence where we're going to find out where they are individually. And when Yo-Yo leaves, she's in the back of a car, Piper's in the front. And who's driving it, Joel?
An LMD version of Davis.
How much did you love this? Was this your favorite moment of the whole episode?
It was up there. It was definitely up there as one of my favorites. Just because with the idea of LMD, anybody who is dead is not dead.
He's self-aware too. Like, I have no soul. Kill me now.
Yeah, like they could have had Trip in here. They could have brought back any of our characters who have died. Ward.
Well, anybody that they have their brain scan of, I guess. But
I just think it's for an actor who was on the show for a very long time as a secondary character, and he kept getting bigger and bigger, and then until they finally did what they did to him. Like, he was a stunt guy too, and his wife works on the show as Jiaying. Like, it's great to see that they brought him back because they loved him behind the scenes, and it was great just to have him on the show.
Yeah, it was good. I liked that moment a lot. Then we see that May is actually giving lectures. He's like a professor, or professor in Memorial. Yeah. I don't know if she has a degree in anything, but she's giving a lecture at the Coulson Academy, and she's there with Flint. Nice.
Yeah. Sweet little love it. So the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy is up and moving still. We never did find out what happened to the one woman from the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy.
Well, the last time we saw her, she was part of the real S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, the real S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of fell apart. We never got to see the ending of that.
Well, the end of that was that Mac cut off Coulson's arm.
Well, yeah, but we had the one guy in the wheelchair who was from Fringe.
Yeah, we also had Battlestar Galactica. We see that Coulson is at the headquarters. We don't see the outside of the headquarters. It's some building. And he's received a package with the code 136. What does that code mean? Anything?
It's the number of episodes in the series.
Is it really?
Yes. It's the only thing I saw on that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing I saw. And it's, TV series, 136 episodes.
All right, so.
That's not counting the one-shots, though, I don't think of.
Yo-yo. So Mac is on a helicarrier, and he apparently is still the director.
You know what? He looks good as a Nick Fury replacement if they wanted to.
Got it. Yeah, get
that long black trench coat.
Any kind of connection you're saying? Is this 1 year later? Is this year 2021? Is this tying into Endgame and stuff? You have to let all of that go because.
Oh, of course. Oh, absolutely.
Daisy is up in space with Sousa and Korra. Korra has redeemed herself for all the murders and deaths she's caused because those people don't exist anymore in his timeline, which is nice. And then Coulson gets the keys. I figured this out for two reasons. When Max says he's a mechanic first, and the fact that they also put out on Twitter or whatever the picture of Lola with the whole crew. I'm like, oh, he's getting Lola. By the way, my father-in-law was just jumping up and down for this. He's like, oh, my God, there's the Corvette, which was cool. And then the Corvette did a transformation like Michael Bay's Transformers up, 5, where everything can just nanobit, which was fine. You didn't need to. The Corvette was fine as it was, but they did transform it again. And I noticed that the music here was playing was actually from the beginning of the series. Some of the same original quotes and some of the original notes from the original. So I thought that was great. But yeah, this was phenomenal. And he flies off Back to the Future ending. What'd you think?
I loved it. Could I have hoped for more? Yeah, absolutely. Could I have hoped for any sort of if Nick Fury would have shown up, or if Bobby, Mockingbird and Hunter? I know we already got Hunter before as he show up again, but it'd been nice to get Bobby again.
But you got a little bit of that with Davis and stuff and Piper. So
yeah, or Grant War would have been nice too. But that being said, cause I mean, I'm a sucker for when you're doing last episodes, you start bringing in people, and that just always makes me super giddy. That being said, it's that 1 year later, I like it a lot. It's, I don't know they didn't have to do 1 year later. They could have just been like, it could have been a month later. They moved on, you know. The 1 year puts that hole in the middle, and it's like, look where these people have ended up. And it's like, they didn't need a year to get to where they ended up.
Well, it was the anniversary is why they were getting together, is how I took that.
That's fair.
I will say that having talked through it, the ending does have a little more issues with some stuff. I still loved it, but yeah, analyzing that with you, can see the parts where it could have been just a little stronger here and there, but overall, still great stuff.
I know I mentioned this real fast, but I mentioned this last podcast, the idea that, you know, I thought maybe Simmons is referencing the snap, just because I was like, how is she so emotional about all this?
You wanted that. Really, I never believed sense. That was going to happen. Yeah.
I just couldn't figure out how she was so emotional. Like losing Fitz, she wouldn't have been that emotional, but losing her daughter, that definitely when her acting when she was around her daughter made so much sense. And I was like, okay, there it is. That I get that now. And so I thought they did a good job of that. Good job of hiding that too.
People talk about, is Daisy, you know, everybody wants, oh, she's part of Agents of S.W.O.R.D., and she's part of S.W.O.R.D., which is the space arm of S.H.I.E.L.D., and there was no reference to that at the end of this. And the creators of the show, the showrunners, have said that they were going to use that at one point, and then they were given they can't use it from the higher-ups, basically saying, nope, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to use that, so they can't use S.H.I.E.L.D. There was also a comment where they said that they wanted to use MODOK at one point, and then they were told they can't, which makes people think that MODOK will actually be in Ant-Man 3. So those are two interesting little tidbits that have come out since then about pieces that, oh, they could have used it and then they couldn't use it. And I bet you at a certain point, if Ghost Rider was still with the show, they probably would have said, get Ghost Rider off the show because we're going to be doing our own thing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope for little things like that. But again, because I hope for them because they have delivered a couple of times early on, especially after Captain America Civil War. Captain America Winter Soldier. That watching the episode before and watching the episode after that movie was watching like a sequel to the movie. It was that good. And so I always wish they never got so, whatever the hell happened between the TV side and the film side. It's just a shame.
It's hard to keep the movies to work in a timeline, let alone a TV. We talked about that from the very beginning. How are they going to keep a TV series, which is putting out 22 episodes a year? How do you keep that within the context of everything? It would be impossible, which it turned out to, it would be. That's why the new shows they're going to make are going to be like 8 to 10 episodes miniseries, which are basically long movies. That's the way to do it. They couldn't have done that any other way. Look how they've come up with a clever way of keeping Spider-Man in high school this long was because of the snap actually gives them, oh, good, we can actually keep him in high school a little bit longer. That was something that they were able to do because of that. Because otherwise, every time one of the movies would come out and some other time thing has gone past, it's like, well, wait a minute, now Spider-Man should be in college. And that once you have somebody tied into an existing childhood-ish thing, then you're all bets are off.
I thought you might have been upset that Sousa didn't become a cop.
They talked about that
in New York.
They talked about actually trying to do him as an undercover. They briefly said because the actor who plays Sousa also had a small, very small role in Avengers as a cop. And they said, oh, maybe we can actually film that. And it was discussed within the showrunner's world, but they never actually shot it. But they thought that would be kind of a clever thing to do.
That's awesome. That's great. That's great. Great. Good stuff. Do you think this is I think we'll see Coulson again. I think he'll make a movie appearance at some point or a TV show, another TV show appearance. I don't think that's the end of Coulson.
Somebody had said this to me, and I agree with this, is where Coulson is at now, it can fit within the context of the movies and the TV show separately now, because if Coulson shows up in any of the movies at this point as an LMD, it works within the world of the movies and have no reference to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in other words, they put the character of Coulson in a position where he can show up in Thor, Love, and Thunder. And people are like, oh my God, he's an LMD. And they go, are they referencing S.H.I.E.L.D.? Sure, if you wanted to. But if he doesn't, if you don't want to watch, it could always just be the fact that the last time we saw him in the movie universe, barring a flashback in Captain Marvel, was the fact that he was dead and now he's back as an LMD. So it works within the context of that. Plus, it will also work for people who want to say that it's referencing S.H.I.E.L.D. Unless his LMD comes in and goes, oh yeah, that's May and that's, you know, Quake, it won't, you know. So I thought that was really clever. A nice way to deal with that.
The season, I always have to go back to the fact that they gave us a little bit more Agent Carter with having Enver, Agent Sousa on the show. That is great. Now, we didn't get some of the answers to Agent Carter, some of the cliffhanger stuff. We did get one big answer, though. She never she never married Sousa, and I thought that was really nice of them to give us that sort of wrap up on that.
Yeah. Any final thoughts as we wrap this up?
Oh, man, I could talk about this for a while because I think they did such a good job over these 7 years. This is high quality television, and we've seen high quality television that fails to deliver in the end. We've seen, you know, we've seen TV shows that never get this length. We've seen TV shows that are just cranking it out every week that are not really good, but they're just making them. And as far as comic book shows, this is top five television comic book shows right now. On network television, it's number one, but overall, it's top five. It's up there as one of the best of all time. I'm just going like I love Daredevil, and Legion was really good when it wasn't as confusing. Like, but this show is a pinnacle for comics on television, at least in this era, before Disney Plus starts cranking out more stuff. So I have a really fond place in my heart for this show. I love the characters. I think I could probably watch any episode of this show and enjoy it. I haven't done that as much as I've done with other shows, just haven't had the time. But it has so much going for it. And I don't know if this is necessarily the end for this show or the characters or little things we're going to find out about this show, little side things. So I'm looking forward to more. You got some overall thoughts? I could keep going on and on. So.
I have no regrets doing the podcast on this. When we decided to do this from the very beginning 7 years ago, it was enjoyable show. If the show had started out now, it would be a little more dated because of the way it's put together versus how television dramas and television shows in general have just gotten more and more and more cinematic. And even though the show did evolve, it still has a feel, it's not a negative, but it is a truth, that it still has a feel of a network show working within the confines of a 22 episode season, or in this case a 13 episode season, with the constraints of network budget and commercials and everything, and also the limitations of what network television brings. And I don't know if we're going to get anything like this again. I think Marvel is going to keep everything at another higher cinematic level, and I look forward to that. And I think that this rose up with that. It never quite got as cinematic storytelling or as even some of the Netflix shows, but it was still the investment was great. The characters were great. I'm happy with the show. Well done. Well done, show.
We've talked about this before, just kind of going off what you said real fast. There are television shows that are good that sometimes can be great. This show was a great show that had moments of brilliance, absolute brilliance, from connecting to the movies early on to even this past season with the time loop episode. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, that's awesome. That's the least thing I want from a show. Like, if I get that, like, that show is in my top, you know, my top shows of all time. Because it delivered on exactly what you want. Brilliance. So.
Excellent. Again, you're right. This was a great show that in the worst case was always, sometimes it's just good. But that's really a high bar. Thank you for being listeners this whole time, if you are, or if you came in at the end. I appreciate it. It's been a fun journey. We're not stopping. We don't sure what happens next. There is a New Mutants movie theoretically coming out, and obviously Mandalorian Season 2, and whatever Marvel decides to do down the road. We're going to keep going. The way television structure is now, there is different gaps between when we do this, and obviously Joel's wrapping up his fun that he's dealing with trying to get through all that, so that will be something that we will discuss the next time you hear from us. I'm looking forward to it. We're not done, but we're just done with this chapter. So thank you so much for listening. It's been a fun time. Thank you. This is Jerry.
And this is Joel. We'll talk to you next time.